I want to welcome you to episode 1504 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, January 28th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to welcome any brand new listener to the show. I want to thank you for checking the show out and got a great podcast for you today. But first and foremost, if you're brand new to the show, want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you get over on the website, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. You'll find all the links there on the sidebar. Of course, while you're there, make sure you get hooked up with the newsletter as well. And that's the main thing. Of course, if you haven't become an insider yet, we want you to become an insider. The new insider program is starting very, very soon. And we'll be sending emails out directly, working on a little bug in our system at Blueberry, something I found while setting up the new Insider podcast. But that is forthcoming. And of course, don't forget about the sponsor here, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. So today, if you want to reach out, email is easy. geeknews@gmail.com. That's a place to go. Let's switch that back. geeknews@gmail.com is the place to send me email. At Geek News is as well. You can get in contact with the show and stay in contact with the folks that are part of the podcast at our chat room at geeknews.chat or on our Discord channel. If you want to be part of our Slack channel, you can do that as well. You just send me an email. All the shows, all the partner shows are linked at geeknewscentral.com. And so really, you have no excuse. You know where to come get the show and get access to it. Those of you who have been here a long time, thanks for being here today. And those of you that are on Facebook, make sure you say hello. Definitely appreciate it when you do. As always, this show would not be possible without the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. And that's our good friends, of course, at GoDaddy.com. All the great deals there, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase at $499.com for new or transferred. For new customers only, again, a $499.com, new or transfer for new customers. And of course, two best hosting deals on the planet. $1 a month to manage economy hosting for the first year, the free domain, and $1 a month to manage WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. And really, those are the two best deals going. The codes are linked on the website, again, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can grab the codes or click on the link. If you're a business owner, you can try a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. That's a 1 month free trial. So definitely get over there and get connected and get support the sponsor. Appreciate it when you do. So just running a little bit behind tonight. I'll talk about that in the complete dialogue here, but been a busy week as always. And this I consider tax weekend. I've got 1099s to get out. Yes, I know they're due on the 1st. So I think I'm going to be working on those tomorrow night until the wee hours of the evening. And then I've got to start getting tax paperwork ready. So very, very full schedule for the upcoming weekend. So just want to give you guys an update too on the two furries that we have here, the two cats. So the mama cat that I brought, she really never assimilated with the office. She just hid the entire time. So the male neutered cat, he's been at home, you know, looks out the window, lays on the couch. He's a cat, you know, he doesn't bother me too much. And then, so I took the mama home back to the compound, and she was quite happy to be back in the barn. She's a barn cat to begin with. And we have a couple of kittens that were about 4 months old. So the one kitten has not yet been spayed. So I need her neutered or whatever has to be done. So I got to get her taken care of. But she's here and she is happy. Oh, my God. These two, this old boy cat, and this baby girl cat, they get along fine and they play with each other and they don't fight. And there's no, you know, hair flying anywhere. I think he puts up with her, but so far, it's just the only thing I've had to do is don't come up and jump on my lap and walk on my computer keyboard and stuff. So the two furries are doing good. And I guess you guys really don't care, right? But yeah, it makes it a little bit entertaining here at the studio. I'm here by myself, and so they keep me entertained a little bit. But show is late tonight because I ran out of here about 5:40 or so, maybe 5:30, about 5:30. And when I wrapped up stuff for Blueberry, and I'm kind of out of fast food, but I thought I would go down to Wendy's and get a chili. So I rolled in there and I was just kind of on my phone, you know, kind of messing around, checking Facebook and doing it. And I'm like, next thing I'm like, what the heck's going on? This line is not moving. 31 minutes to serve 4 vehicles. I should have just got out of the line and forgot about it. But I was annoyed is not the word. The little Irish, actually, I wasn't angry, but I'm parked at the speaker, right? And in front of me, the gal that's taking orders is dancing. She's dancing, and I'm like, hello? Hello? Just wait a minute, sir. And I see her dancing. And I'm like, what is going on? So finally, the car that was in front of me, he went ahead to park, and then she took my order. I'm like, oh, I see the scam going here. They're trying to keep their wait times down so that they don't have too much on the clock, which that compounds their serving time. So I got to the window, and I'm like, handed her my credit card, and I just kind of, I didn't say anything. And I drove up to the next window and sat there, and I'm looking inside, and there's another guy dancing inside the Wendy's, and I total counted 7 people. And finally, at the 31-minute mark, they opened the windows up and said, sir, we're out of iced tea. I said, I've been 31 minutes in line and there's only been 4 cars ahead of me. If you're out of iced tea, I'll take Coke. So they, doors, windows closed, and they went away and came back and gave me my food. And I said, what's going on? How come so slow? We're understaffed. 7 people working a drive-through, and they did 4 cars in 31 minutes. Woohoo! They're understaffed. That business owner's screwed. It's not the first time it's been bad there, so I haven't avoided that place. And I guess I'll be avoiding it again. I still don't care about my dinner stuff, but it's normally like a 10-minute thing, right? So it is what it is. So anyway, I do want to say one thing. I'm going to start the show out tonight with a story that has me a little bit in disbelief. Hello, Marty, Richard, Liz, Greg. If you're watching the show, make sure you say hello. If you're on Facebook or on YouTube or wherever you may be, make sure you say hi. It's one of those stories where it's almost like hell has frozen over, because I would almost say without a doubt that I would almost never agree with something that a politician has said, and in particular this politician. So there is a first for everything. And it's just a thing. I'm just kind of laughing at myself because today, I'm sure you've heard about the Robin Hood situation where a whole bunch of day traders, people like you and I, who play around and buy a little stock here and there. But this group's a little more dedicated. Recreational traders, I think, is what they call them. And are small investors. So Robinhood has been fueling. 56% of the people on Robinhood own now today GameStop stock. This started out like at $18 and went to like $500. And what was unique about this, and if you haven't heard this already, there was a bunch of hedge fund guys that had, or hedge fund firms. And again, I am not one to give you any financial advice. So take everything I say here with a grain of salt. I am not a financial advisor. Don't claim to be one. But essentially, these hedge funds were shorting the stock. And they ran this Reddit group ran the stock way, way up, causing the hedge funds to have to make margin calls and cover, and they've lost billions of dollars. Now, when you hear hedge fund, think back to 2008. There was one hedge fund that predicted the collapse of the housing market, and they made piles of money while other folks didn't see it coming. But these folks are generally not well-liked by the majority of us that are just JQ citizen, right? But many of you that have 401ks or things like that, you probably are part of a fund that a hedge fund might be invested in, and you know, you may have just got screwed on your retirement. But here is what happened today. Robinhood, the app that a lot of these folks were using to buy GameStop, AMC, and what they did is they run the gauntlet on these stocks. These stocks are not worth $500, but they almost out of spite ran the stock price up. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people ran the price of the stock up and caused this hedge fund to lose billions. And probably some of these firms will go out of business, and in my opinion, good riddance. But today, Robinhood froze GameStop trading. And everyone else could trade. But people that wanted to buy GameStop today could not. I think you could sell it, but you couldn't buy it. You couldn't do options on it. And a variety of other things that traders do. And again, I don't even try to fully understand it because that's not my gig. But, and this is where the shock and awe comes in for the show. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez calls for an investigation into Robinhood's GameStop freeze. I agree. I can't believe it. She's called on Congress to investigate the Robinhood app to ban small investors from buying stock in the companies like GameStop. As we know, over the last week, Reddit users have rushed to buy the BMO video game retailer stock, inflating its price in what some are calling a squeeze of a lifetime. In a Thursday tweet, Ocasio-Cortez called Robinhood's decision to block retail investors from purchasing stock in companies like GameStop and BlackBerry unacceptable, and that she'd support a hearing if necessary. Now, here's the thing about stock. We all know you can be foolish. You can buy stuff and get in trouble. When you put in a buy order for American Airlines or whoever you put a buy order for, you are betting that that stock is going to go up. And if you're not educated on financials and, you know, following the trends and all this stuff, there's a very good chance that you're going to throw a seven. You know, the crap table, everything but a seven. Well, the hedge fund guys were betting behind the line. They were betting that someone would throw a seven with GameStop. And what makes this so heinous? Whatever motive these folks had in squeezing the hedge fund folks, that was their money. That was their risk. If they bought it at 200 and got out at 300, they got rich. And meanwhile, the hedge funds had to cover all of that borrowed stock that they had probably bought. And there's a whole thing that goes on with that. But the simple fact that GameStop froze trading in Robinhood caused Robinhood stock to go back down about 45% today, which probably was a gift to the hedge funds. And there's some word about intermixing and hedge funds helping other hedge funds and blah, blah, blah. But essentially what Robinhood today was, they stole from the poor and they gave to the rich. Now, what's curious And what's interesting about this whole thing is everyone's pissed off at Robinhood. They're pissed off. How could this app do this to us? What I keep telling everybody. You can't build your business. You can't build a portfolio. You can't count on actions to go your way when there's like this kind of money going around. Same thing happened in the election, right? So all of a sudden, big tech, once again, this time though, it wasn't political, it was financial, and they put the screws to 56% of the Robinhood customers to the benefit of these rich hedge funds. Now, even more shocking, you know who else agreed with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Ted Cruz. Holy smokes. He agreed. Really? You know, so GameStop shorts calling, you know, here's the thing. The average Joe has no way to be able to compete with microsecond trading. You know, the computers trade now, not people. So hedge fund billionaires treat the stock market like their personal playground, then taking their ball home as soon as they lose, or try to collude, in my opinion, with other folks to try to screw the individual investor. The people that are on Robinhood know the risk. And if you are getting in and buying any type of stock, come on now, put your big boy pants on. You're going to take money from your savings account or wherever and transfer that into your Robinhood account, and you're going to buy stock that may go down. That's your risk. That's you putting yourself at risk. That's your decision to do that. But the simple fact that Robinhood had said to all those people using that, you can't buy that stock no more. You're not allowed to. You can sell what you have and lose money, but you can't buy that. That is crazy. So they're going to spend the next 5 years talking about this, but this is not over, ladies and gentlemen. This is not over. Because it just wasn't GameStop that did this. E-Trade. Everyone flocked to E-Trade after Robinhood did its thing. And guess what E-Trade did? Oh, no blocking. No. You can't buy GameStop and AMC. Nope. You can't buy it. You can't. You're not allowed to because you're too stupid. Who can you trust? Big tech. The rich get richer. Poor get poorer. If it's your money to lose, it's your money to lose. The subreddit on Reddit managed to drive GameStop share prices up by 1,700%. And it's from a group called Wall Street Bets. And it's a coordinated effort. Hey, I can tell you, I think you should buy American Airlines. I can tell you that. And I can disclose, I'm not a financial advisor. I can tell you, I haven't bought the stock, but I think you should, in my opinion, buy American Airlines. I'm not a financial advisor, but I think you should buy American Airlines. I can say that all day long. I can tell you to go buy stock. As long as I don't qualify it. As long as I don't give, as long as I'm disclosing I'm not a fan, I can say I've lost millions of dollars in the stock market, but you should go buy American Airlines. Now, I'm not going to do that. But a lot of people did. And actually, Mark Cuban was applauding this activity. This morning, I turned on my TV and found CNBC because I wanted to see what was going on. So Robinhood this afternoon was hit with a class action lawsuit after it restricted GameStop stock purchasing. And there's a little bit of discussion about who is doing Robinhood's bidding. So Interactive Brokers halted trading on GameStop. Webull stopped trading on GameStop. TD Ameritrade stopped trading on GameStop. But yet, institutional investors could do whatever they want. They had their own systems, their own tech. They built their own castle on land that they own and wires that they own. So I heard you could buy a penny portions of stock on Cash App. I didn't even know that, but I heard that got shut down too. So the question was asked, why are brokerage firms like Robinhood restricting trading in GameStop? It feels like a fear of too much profit going to people like you and me. That's what it is. And I think Robinhood did itself irrevocable damage today. I think they will be in much, much trouble over the coming months, because people will have left it like flocks of sheep. I don't have a Robinhood account. But do you? Now, someone in the chat room said, I got in and I got out. And good for you. I hope you made some money. I hope you made a pile of cash. I really, really do. I hope you made a big bunch of money. But again, you knew the risk. You had your big boy pants on. You knew when you went into that that you could lose every dime. So what do you all think about this? Geeknews@gmail.com. Does it make you start to think that we've got a problem with big tech and making up the rules as they go and changing the rules as they go? I got another one here in a minute that's just going to blow you away. And some of this stuff is very, very, very curious on what has happened. Now, just wait till I put this out here for you. And you're going to go, huh. So the next, by the way, Discord is no longer banning Wall Street bets. It's helping them. They got their moderation under control because I guess there was a bunch of people in Wall Street Bets Discord channel that had a potty mouth. So if you want to get in the Discord channel, Wall Street Bets, it's open. So be careful. But I think the fun and games over there are not done. If you are willing to put a little money at risk, see which next stock they target. But get in and get out. You know, when it's on its way up, don't hold your breath too long. You get out and take your money. And remember, you got to pay tax on that because you've held it very short time. There is Uncle Sugar's going on his piece. Okay, so listen to this one. Let me just read the title to you. Facebook to stop recommending civic and political groups. Facebook will stop recommending users join civic and political groups as it tries to reduce the number of political posts in people's feeds. Huh. People don't want politics and fighting to take over, the Facebook post, the Facebook boss told those on a call. Too late. You encourage this before the election, and now you're going to say, no, we don't want you participating, and we're not going to recommend civic and political groups. Could they not be more obvious. The decision follows months of pressure of the spread of misinformation on Facebook. He said it wanted to make sure the community's people connect with are healthy and positive. It's too late. The damage has been done. Friends have broken up. Friends have unfollowed each other. Friends have said hateful things to one another on Facebook. It's too late. Quote unquote, this was a continuation of work we've been doing for a while to turn down the temperature. Really? Who believes that? Who believes that? Facebook banned more than 1 million groups in 2020. It just makes you go, huh, okay, gotcha. I gotcha. Now, what we'll watch in a couple of years, we'll see if these groups and stuff are allowed to proliferate. And I'm also hearing now Twitter's got their new thing with their new content moderation stuff, and they are being interestingly selective in who they're allowing to be in that fact-checking group. So it's very, very interesting to watch what's going on. Big tech has way, way too much power here. And here we are. You're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're on Twitter, you know, getting this word out, and see how long before my account gets shut down. But it shouldn't make you all sit back and go, make up your own mind. Get educated on your own. Research your own stuff. Go out on the web. Get away from Facebook. Get away from these sites. Do your own background. Do your own studying. Talk to people. Have conversations in person if you can. Because all this stuff just smells bad. And if you look what Robinhood did today, oh my goodness. I made a tweet about it earlier today. Let's see if I can find how I tweeted it. And I do not have a Robinhood app. I don't have an account over there. So what did I say? Let me see if I can find what I said so I can read it to you exactly. Here's what I said. When an app takes action against its users, protect the ultra-rich in this country, they should be punished by those using the app. They took action today that will forever damage their brand. And what's kind of ironic, somebody I have no idea who they are, they replied to, oh, that tweet was taken down. Oh, isn't that interesting? Huh. Let me do that again. Wow. Someone got a tweet taken down that replied to me. So, okay. So anyway, that's what I said. All right. Before I go any further, I almost forgot to tell you this. Major changes to the podcast awards. I added 10 categories. And we basically married the categories up with Apple. And then I added, by suggestion of some other folks in the podcasting community, I added 5 more. I added best man-hosted podcast, best woman-hosted podcast, or best female-hosted, best male-hosted podcast, best female-hosted podcast, best Latin-hosted podcast, best Asian-hosted podcast, best Black-hosted podcast, and the best podcast listing platform. So, and then along with 5 other, was that right? No, 4 other new categories. So we're going to be up to 30 categories on the podcast awards. It's a big, big, big jump for us to make that leap. But this is the first time we're going out of content categories and actually going to be honoring individuals. And on top of that, we're going to have 2 new things where podcasters are going to be able to say who influenced them the most in the past year as a podcaster. And we're going to ask the listeners during voting period, who was the person that influenced you the most? What podcaster influenced you the most by name? And then we're going to honor 5 of each of those in another category. So really, we're really ramping it up. and some of the things that we're doing. So, anyway, John, Richard, thanks for coming on. All right, so let me go ahead here and talk about something that's less controversial. How many of you still have cable? I know many of you do not. Many of you have cut the cord. Some of you are still have a cable bill. We know that a number of years ago, the cable bill transparency laws were supposed to require TV providers to disclose their fees when customers signed up. Well, not so much. So in 2019, this was enacted, but here's an interesting one. Comcast Xfinity TV signup says, hey, here's what it's going to get up to 200 megs in speed. You're going to get 130 channels, and it's going to cost you $79.99 a month for the next 12 months, or $89.99 a month for the next year on a two-year agreement. But when you click their terms of service, buried in there, broadcast fee, $19.45 a month. Regional sports fee, $14.45 a month. Didn't even know that existed. So they hid $34 a month in fees behind the fine print when you chose a plan. And you did not see that your bill was going to be $129 from that $79 introduction. You didn't see it was going to be $129 until you looked at the very fine print before you just signed up. It was buried. Comcast does the same thing. They bury it and only reveal the final bill at the end. And other companies says that Cox is pulling similar tricks during its sign-up process, advertising a price of $100 per month for TV and internet. But that does include a mandatory $10 a month set-top box fee, $13.50 per month broadcast TV fee, and a $10 per month regional sports fee. I don't want sports fees. I don't watch sports. So again, the price really end up being $160 on that introduction price. So all these companies are burying all their extra fees down in the fine print. So if you're getting ready to sign up, Please, if you're getting ready to sign up for a TV service, or maybe you've got an elderly person that's in your home or whatever it may be, please do not let them get stuck in a bill that they think was going to be $79.99 and ends up being $129.99, because people on a fixed budget are going to be in trouble. And also, while I'm at it here, scammers are off the chart right now. Calcutta, India is the number one location for scammers. They're calling you saying that they're Amazon, calling you say that they're a Microsoft technician. We need, as an Ohana, as a family of listeners here, you all need to have a discussion with anyone that is retirement age and above. And maybe you have a parent or an aunt or uncle, maybe they're savvy and don't need to have this discussion. But what we're seeing is this rise in people. Basically, the scam basically goes like this: that going to help you repair your computer. They get a remote session into your computer. You get to the point where they're going to give you a refund for non-existent services. I mean, the scam is so bad that you and I would be like, no. But people that are elderly are falling for this and emptying their bank accounts by sending gift cards, Best Buy or Google gift cards at $500 a pop to some guy in India. So please, 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 please tell your elderly that Amazon will never call you. Microsoft will never call you. It's not, and if you have a pop-up that comes up on your computer screen while you're on some website, turn the computer off and tell them wait till you get over the house to look at it. Because people are being devastated. Just do a search on YouTube for clickbait or scammer bait. And you'll be amazed and shocked and torn and the amount of money that's being scammed is unprecedented. And so for some reason, Americans are so gullible. They believe anyone they think is a person of authority. And it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy is what's happening. So please, please, please talk. You know, if you do nothing else, next time you're talking to your elderly parent, just tell them, hey, mom, dad, if anybody ever calls you and they say they're from Amazon, or they call you, you know, you get, don't fall for this. Never, never, ever, 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 ever log into your virtual banking with any customer service rep, ever. But time and time and time and time again, there's hundreds of videos on YouTube showing people being persuaded into doing that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine talking to somebody on the phone and saying, well, we need, ma'am or sir, I need you to log into your banking account. What? So I can process your refund? Well, put my refund on my credit card or send me a check. And if you, I don't know how I'm spending money with you, it's a total scam. I don't know how people fall for it. All right. Did everybody leave? No, you guys are here. Thanks. And so have any of you had an adult parent that has run into this issue? Come on now. We got to protect them. Okay, a little more. My Google Home just replied and said, I'm not connected to the internet right now. Yes, I disconnected you from the internet because you're doing too much spying on me. Okay, location broker Xmode continues to track users despite App Store bans. We've talked about this before. Apple and Google banned apps for sharing location data with a broker with links to U.S. military contractors. But a deep dive. Sean O'Brien, principal researcher at ExpressVPN Digital Security Labs, and Esther Onfroy, a co-founder of the Defense Lab Agency, found close to 200 Android apps that at some point over the past year contained Xmode tracking code. Some of those apps were still sending location data to Xmode as recently as December when Apple and Google told developers to remove Xmode from their apps or face a ban from the App Store. Weeks after the ban took effect, one popular U.S. transit map app that had been installed hundreds of thousands of times was still downloadable from Google Play, even though it was still sending location data to Xmode. Now, they targeted a lot of religious apps, and specifically Muslim religious apps. And apparently what they were, looks like they were doing, they was trying to get a prayer app had more than 98 million downloads worldwide, with sending granular movement data to Xmode on every one of its users. And we all can kind of figure out probably what that data was used for. So it doesn't say in the U.S. specifically, but I would assume there was U.S. people on that app. And of course, a lot of folks in the Middle East too. So what's scary is Xmode's chief executive, Josh Anton, told CNN last year the data broker tracks 25 million devices in the United States. Wow. Tracking you with location data going back to you. Now, you know, here in the next couple of months, Apple, those of you on iOS, that new transparency stuff is going to be in effect where you're actually going to be able to go in and see what an app does, and you'll be able to take location tracking permissions away from those apps individually. And they will have to explicitly ask you if they can track you. So you're going to be shocked in the number of apps that are tracking you that you thought never would. Speaking of Apple, and this is kind of an interesting thing. There's a little bit of a petty war going on between Apple and Facebook right now. Maybe not so petty. But Tim Cook took aim at Facebook's practices during a privacy conference. He didn't mention the company by name, but he really didn't need to. He says, Apple CEO Tim Cook called for greater security of businesses built on misleading users and data exploitation. And this is what Tim said. This is a quote from him. The fact is that an interconnected ecosystem of companies and data brokers, of purveyors of fake news and peddlers of division, of trackers and hucksters just looking to make a quick buck is more present in our lives than it has ever been, he said in his early remarks. It has never been so clear how it degrades our fundamental right to privacy and our social fabric by consequence. Now, Apple is not completely innocent here. But we know Apple has long positioned itself as a guardian of user data, and they do have very strong user data policies. Just like my company that adopted GDPR globally, even for our U.S. customers, we really feel privacy of listeners and the data of listener, basically what listeners ascribe to and listen to, is very, you know, it's a fundamental right for you to know that and not for me to know that. And that's how we position ourselves, and that's why we anonymize and remove. Basically, the PII is the IP address that you access content by. You know, we process that from a geolocation, what kind of app you were using, and then we anonymize. Basically, we strip the IP address out of the system, then we are out of the logs, and then we smash them and encrypt them and store them. So that even if someone got to it, it'd be like, they look, oh, that's 0000 is the IP address for millions of listings. Well, we do that on purpose, because we want to be we are GDPR compliant. But at the moment, he says, rampant disinformation and conspiracies juiced by algorithms could longer turn a blind eye to theory of technology that says all engagement is good engagement. So we do know that Facebook was taking all stories, true or false, and then they were serving them up to people that they thought needed to see more CRAP. While Cook wouldn't specifically point fingers, the main target's argument doesn't seem too difficult to discern, given the role it has played following the spread of misinformation fomenting unrest. See, this is a lot of people don't know. Yes, do you think Facebook is responsible for unrest? It's pretty clear Apple CEO had Facebook in mind. The fact that Cook referred to these larger issues as social dilemma also reads like a slightly tongue-in-cheek reference, because, you know, come on. Apple has done some actions recently that makes you question some stuff too. So Cook's comments come one day after Apple reported all-time high quarterly revenues, all by because everyone's buying iPhone 12s, including me. At least my company did. So before long, Facebook's attempt to push back against Apple could escalate beyond barbs and investor calls. So we know that there is a little bit of a brush up already happening, because Apple's going to make it much, much harder for Facebook to make money because of the ad tracking stuff and the blocking that's going to be going on. So do any of you remember the days when you would have a switch on your desk? When I was working with the Navy, it seems like every third desk had a switch on it. And I'm talking about an Ethernet switch. Well, Cisco, it's going back to the future, is introducing desktop switches with one USB-C to power your laptop. And this is a fiber to the desk. So this is pretty cool. You know, I've got LAN cables run. If you went up in this space above, there's LAN cables everywhere. And part of the reason was, so the TriCaster sitting here with about a dozen IP devices in this room alone. And I've got a gigabit switch here with a cable going back to the main router. And then I've got stuff going on in other rooms. It's each of the rooms have LAN drops, you know, so the roof is being suspended. And if it ever comes crashing down, there's 500 or 1,000 feet of LAN cable up there. But along with audio, video, SDI cables, you name it, is run up there. Everything except for power is in the roof. And this is one of those suspended roofs. So every time I lift up one of those, I kind of have to scoot the cables away. But anyway, this will let you run fiber to your desk. Fiber to back to a main switch. So now we're moving into a time where instead of having your computer running a 20-foot cable to the switch, you're going to have the switch on your desk and just a little short connection cable to be hooked up to it, and plus power your laptop with USB-C or power, you know, maybe charge a cell phone or something. This seems pretty slick, especially if it's fiber. So going to the next level in speed, I'd love to have all fiber in here. My connection still to my, even though I have my, my RAID, my data server sitting just on the other side of the wall and connected to the switch very close, it just still seems a little sluggish to me, even though I've got four one gigabit Ethernet cables plugged into the thing. All right. So GM announced today they plan to exclusively sell electric vehicles by 2035. Okay. Now, here's the problem. There is going to be a need for literally millions of charging stations. I couldn't tell you where a charging station is in this town. I don't think any exists. Well, actually, there's one. I know where one exists. One charging station is in this town of about 35,000 people. There's one. So if we're going to have all electric vehicles by 2035, every apartment complex is going to have to be completely rewired. Every townhouse in the country is going to have to be completely rewired so that there is charging stations at every parking spot where there are townhouses. Every home, essentially in America, will have to be rewired to be able to have a high power charger for their vehicles. So that gives us about 14 years, if you're owning a GM, to get there. Not to mention all the places you're going to need charging stations if you want to go on a trip and not have 50 cars waiting to get charged at the same time. You think about how many cars are on the highway and how many external charging places. You know, you talk about a gas station, you roll in there. You know, I roll into the local speedway here and there's ten pumps. And there's a vehicle almost always parked at every pump. Once in a while you slip in, don't have to wait, and you get gas. Now, how long does it take you to fuel up your car? Takes you about, maybe 3-4 minutes? Let's say you walk in and you get yourself a Mountain Dew and a candy bar. So maybe you're there 6 minutes, okay? Put your thing in your gas, can you, you know, get your receipt, get in your car, and off you go with a full tank of gas. Easy peasy, right? So that's 10 vehicles being able to get fueled up, each of them probably taking no more than 10 minutes. So you can see the thorough put that Speedway has to happen. Now, the fastest chargers today for a Tesla, your supercharger, takes about 40 minutes to charge the Tesla, maybe 35. So how do you do that? How do you have enough charging stations? You're going to have parking lots full of charging stations off of the expressway. Now, I'm sure there's going to be a whole new business model for that. But then we got to think about this for a second. What do you have to do? You got to bring in high power voltage lines. You got to bring in high capacity. Because if you're charging 100 cars at one time, that's what you would call some amps. You're going to need some amps. You're going to need some big fat cables. And it's going to have to be connected to a power plant that will be able to charge those vehicles, and probably won't be nuclear. So, and you're going to have big trucks, semis going to electric, not to mention what we already talked about with the lack of lithium in the world. So, you know, we're going to have massive amount of, you thought coal mines were deep. You know, them to try to get enough lithium to build these lithium batteries are going to be a whole nother situation. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be 14, if they're going to get this done in 14 years, we'll see. We'll see. It is 2021, right? Okay. I like electric vehicles just like the next person, but having lived here where there are mass distances to drive, if I just go to like the closest big town from where I'm at, it's 50 minutes, 40 minutes. So time will tell. When I lived in Hawaii, I could drive around the island in about an hour and a half. I was looking to go up near Saginaw recently, and I'm like, wow, holy cow, that's a long ways away from here. I couldn't believe how far it was. It's bigger. You know, after living in Hawaii for 25 years, I have really kind of forgot the distance, how big the states really are, to be honest, or the lower 48. So, all right, moving on here. Amazon now, kind of weird show tonight, right? Amazon now offers pickup option and Fire TV Edition TVs at your local Best Buy just in time for the Super Bowl. Amazon expanding the same-day pickup of new Fire TV Edition television. Why? I guess the Super Bowl is going to be on the Fire TV? I don't even know who's playing the Super Bowl. I don't even care, to be quite frank with you. I honestly don't know who is in the Super Bowl. Or even if they, as a Super Bowl team's been picked. I don't know. Okay. Peacock Network hits 33 million signups before The Office even arrived. Parent company Comcast fourth quarter beat Wall Street expectations. That's pretty good. Peacock streaming service hit 33 million in the fourth quarter. Comcast reported Thursday an additional 11 million signups from the third quarter. While the company's overall revenues beat Wall Street expectations, Comcast can see the impact of the coronavirus pandemic on its filmed entertainment and theme park divisions. Unless you live in Florida, they're open. So they posted revenue of $27.71 billion, 2.4% decline year over year, with a net income still of $3.3 billion. So they made money. Company added 538,000 broadband subscribers in the fourth quarter, up from 442,000 a year ago, and cable revenues rose 6% to $15.7 billion. It lost 248,000, listen to this, it lost 248,000 video subscribers in the quarter. Almost a 1-to-2 trade-off on broadband. You think about it, if they add high-speed internet, you really don't need the TV service anymore. Okay, well, anyway, The Verge did disclose, remember, we're owned by Comcast and NBC Universal, our investors in The Verge. Gambling apps and others are coming to Google Play Store in the U.S. in 14. I know people have been on gambling apps. When I was living in Hawaii, one of the aunties was on a gambling app long time ago. And I'm like, you're on a gambling app? Oh, yeah. With real money? Oh, yeah. So is this new? An upcoming change to Google's Play Store policy will allow gambling and betting Android apps that use real money in 15 more countries, including the United States. I thought that's already been going on. Currently, gambling apps are only allowed in four countries, Brazil, France, Ireland, and the United Kingdom. The new rules will permit gambling apps in Australia, Belgium, Canada, Colombia, Denmark, Finland, Germany, Japan, Mexico, New Zealand, Norway, Romania, Spain, Sweden, and the United States. How do you get in on that deal? Honestly. And then some states have restrictions as well. The change won't be in the opening of floodgates for just anyone to release a slot machine app. Currently, Google requires developers to go through an application process to get their gambling apps on the Play Store, and the new policies won't be removing the requirement. The application shows the developer uploading the app is licensed to run a gambling operation in the country where the app will be sold. So all those Indian reservations can start putting apps together. They probably already are. Apple clinches a quarter four smartphone shipments top spot as U.S. sanctions elbow Huawei out of the major league. Samsung knocked to second in a shrinking market. In total, Apple shipped 81.8 million iPhones worldwide during the 3 months ending in 31 December. And it's being said, let's see if I'll hit it here a little later. They've actually, Apple announced the total number of active iPhones in use. I forgot the number, but we'll get to it here in a second. YouTube is testing clips on live streams and videos on demand. So this is something that YouTube has not had where you could take a clip of this show and I could share that as a separate video. That's been a common feature of Mixer and Twitch for a while. So that's pretty cool that you're going to allow clips, just a little segment. So hopefully they give that to everybody here in short order. Samsung's quarter four profits jumped 26.4% year over year despite weaker smartphone sales. Samsung is pinning its hope on the Galaxy S21 to boost its profits. So what was the actual number here? South Korean tech giant announced the financials of the fourth quarter. It posted Korean won of 61.55 trillion, 55.3 billion. That's 55.3 billion U.S. in consolidated revenue, and 8.1 billion in operating profit during the fourth quarter of the year. While the company's profit grew 26%, so number two in the world. Oh, here it is. Here's the thing that Apple's proud of: there are over 1 billion iPhones in use around the world right now. A lot more Androids, by the way. A lot more Androids in use around the world. So, actually, 1.65 billion worldwide, not 1 billion, 1.65 billion active iPhones, whereas they've sold like 2.2 billion. So that tells you there's a lot of phones, older phones, that are still out there running. So that's a big number. That's a big, 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 big number. I think we knew this was coming. Disney has removed some classic films from kids' profiles. Lady and the Tramp, Dumbo, and Peter Pan are some of the movies no longer available to kids on Disney Plus. And for reasons that they say they portray and contain negative descriptions of people of other cultures. So these classics have been removed. And the only way, I don't know if it's parents can still get access to them or not, but the Aristocats, Dumbo, Peter Pan, Swiss Family Robinson, those have all been removed. Let's see here. So there may be age rating stuff, so maybe adults still can get access to those from Disney before. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes for you to check that out. We already talked about that. That's a dupe. Talking about identity thieves, well, we talked about the scammers already, but identity thieves have raked in billions with your data. So they're saying, and I guess today is Data Privacy Day. Also, I almost forgot, today is the, I don't know how many year anniversary of the Space Shuttle Columbia's ill-fated flight. So I remember watching that. I don't remember, how old was I when that, I was quite, maybe a young adult. I can't remember when the what year Columbia happened, but that tells you you're getting old, right? But I remember watching the launch. Someone on the chat, maybe you guys can get me the number, the year. But today's the anniversary of that. So identity thieves raked in billions. And what they're doing now, it's just like anything else. When you have a customer, it's easy to keep a customer. It's also easier to upgrade a customer. Well, identity thieves are taking all this stolen data, passwords, personal information, and they're finding new ways to profit from your information. So if you've been involved in a data breach, make sure you're watching your bank account, your credit reports, your health insurance records, all that stuff. So David just helped me out. 1986, 35 years ago. So 1986, I'd have been kind of young. I'd have been 22 in 86. Oh my gosh. Holy smokes. Actually 21, because I didn't turn 22 until June. So thanks, Dave, for the info. Wow. 35 years. Some of you listening to the show weren't even alive when that happened. Holy smokes, 86. We flew the shuttle for a long time, didn't we? You think about that. You know, the shuttle's been retired now, I think a little more over 10 years, but still. Holy smokes. But watch your, again, for these data thieves, make sure you're watching your credit reports. Keep an eye on it. You get a free credit, you know, they add all those advertisements, right? You get a free credit report. You get a free credit report every year. Make sure you get one. Proton Mail, you know about Proton Mail. It's a secure email app. Therema, Terasort, TunaNota. Those are all email apps. Many of you don't, maybe have never heard of, maybe you've heard of Proton Mail. But they are warning you, EU lawmakers, over anti-encryption push. And they're really worried that some legislation going through the EU is designed to allow those governments to have back doors into those apps. And they're calling it E2E. And so they're really, really worried about this. And last month, the EU Council passed a resolution on encryption that's riven with contradiction, calling for security through encryption and security despite encryption. Yes, E2E. And it's a veiled call to backdoor encryption. So we'll keep an eye on this. So those of you that listen to this show in the EU, be aware. As well, the UK competition watchdog is eyeing the Facebook Giphy buy. Now, remember, that happened quite some time ago. And apparently hasn't been completely approved. And but anyway, they're watching their anti-competition authorities looking at that. So Faraday, no, not a Faraday cage, but Faraday, the car manufacturer, they're going, Faraday Future, I guess that's the actual name of the company, is going public and raising $1 billion. And that's amazing. The troubled EV startup announced today that's indeed merging with the special, it's emerging with the Special Purpose Acquisition Corporation. So a bunch of, you know, rich guys. About 230 million of that money will come from Property Solutions raised in its special SPAC. Oh, what is SPAC? Okay, SPAC, Property Solutions. I guess I don't fully understand this. Well, anyway, they're going to be a publicly traded company. They're going to raise $1 billion. But they've got all kinds of financial issues going into this. But I guess they better raise $1 billion to make it happen. Link will be up in the show notes. We talked a little bit about this already, the Apple app tracking transparency feature and how it's going to be enabled default and arrive early spring. And they've got a date, I believe April is when they're going to push this and turn it on. We know the iOS 14 kind of has it already embedded in it. But so Apple describes the systems that under settings, you will be able to see which apps have requested permission to track and make changes as you see fit. And this requirement will roll out in early spring. And there's a whole list of things you need to know about this. And it's basically... you know, really going to help with privacy for those of us that are using these apps to stop passing so much information and giving these companies so great insight into our lives. Shut that down. Now, if you use WhatsApp, WhatsApp is now requiring biometric authentication for PC and web access. So you have to use your phone's face or fingerprint to unlock to link your account. So that's interesting. So someone just can't install WhatsApp on a desktop and get into your account without you giving permission, either be your face or your finger. So I didn't even know WhatsApp had a web portal until today. I thought WhatsApp was just an app. But apparently you can use WhatsApp right on your desktop too. Walmart is betting big on online grocery as it ramps up its automated fulfillment at its stores. You guys already know, those of you who've been here for a few years, You know, I'm not a big fan. You know, I'm not a big fan of Walmart at all. You know, it's literally, from where I sit, there is a Walmart probably 300 feet away, that way. I walk out the back of the office. There's a bank right behind me. I cross over the bank. I get to the main road, which is US 12 or Chicago Street is what it's called here locally. I go across five lanes of literally no traffic, and I'm in the Walmart parking lot. But I don't shop there. At the last, and when I'm like really desperate for something, I'll go to Walmart. Walmart devastated this town when it came here, you know, 25 years ago. It just devastated the local community, and I really never forgot about that. But Walmart said Wednesday it plans to expand its use of high-tech systems to quickly pick up and pack online grocery orders as it anticipates shoppers' demand for pickup and delivery will outlast the pandemic. Well, interesting. So you still go and pick up the groceries, or here they're not delivering them, that's for sure. Yep. So you shop at Walmart? You're going to use this online grocery automated fulfillment system? What are they going to do? They're going to actually, how is this going to work? It's going to go from the warehouses? Dozen Walmart stores will become fulfillment centers with a portion of the store you turned into a small automated warehouse. Wow. So dozens of Walmart stores will become fulfillment centers with a portion of those stores turned into a small automated warehouse. Huh. They'll use the store's existing footprint or add to it. They begin testing one in Alphabot. What is that called? Alphabot at its Salem, New Hampshire store in 2019. The system allowed retailers to pick orders within minutes and have them ready for a customer within an hour of placing the order. So I guess it saves you from having to go in and walk around that stupid place. They're not saying how many receive the tech. But I guess it'll give people something to do. That will definitely require people to pack orders for people. Again, not a fan of Walmart. All right, I think we're down to the end here. Yeah, we are. I ran out of stuff. I do believe that there may have been some email that came in. Let me go to that menu. No, I did not. I did not have any comments come in. So we're going to be at the end of the show here, folks. But how did I do for time? Oh, I went long today. Holy cow. Started late, went long. I ranted too much and just babbled, right? So anyway, sorry for being a little bit off my game a little bit tonight. I don't know why. It's the end of the week. I'm ready for the weekend. I really, really am. And been eating too much junk food. You guys saw me drink a Red Bull on the show, or those of you watching did. Probably didn't need that. But it tasted good. Hey, if you got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. And if you've been watching live, thanks for coming in. Dave, thanks for coming in. Richard and everyone else that participated, thanks for watching the show. Toby, Larry, all the folks that came in. If you're on YouTube, thanks for watching on YouTube as well. Again, if you have comments about the show today, all you got to do is email me here directly, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And don't forget, become an insider. I'm really, really excited to get that insider show started. We've had a number of you become insiders and contribute to $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month. Again, you can do that at geeknewscentral.com/insider. That's a great way to support the show. And again, every penny goes into rent, electricity, gas, insurance, helping the supporting the writing team. We talked about on the last show, we didn't have as much CES coverage this year as we would normally because budget's tight. And but if you got every one of you that basically comes in, here's something that'll be interesting for you. You come in at the $20 level. What that does is you pay for one article a month. You know, that's, you know, the kind of, you know, where your money goes. So it actually goes to something tangible. And we definitely want to thank you all for for consideration of contributing to the show. And again, we'll be starting the private shows soon. And as soon as my tech team fixes the little issue that I found. So we were just talking about it this morning. So hopefully that gets resolved because it just doesn't affect me. It's kind of interesting when the boss finds a bug. You're like, hey. It's just kind of how it goes. But everyone be safe out there. Take care of yourselves. I'll be back here with you on Monday. If you want to hang out with me on Saturday, 12 noon Eastern is when we do the new media show. We go for 90 minutes. It's Rob Greeley and I. So you want to come out and hang out Saturday if you're bored. We're getting supposedly some snow coming in. I don't know how much. I was actually hoping this week we got some snow. I was hoping for a lot. I think I got like 3 inches or something. So not that I want to be snowed in because then it's, you know, it gets boring real fast. But there's nothing else to do right now, folks. It's pretty boring. All right. We'll see you next time on Bikini Central Podcast. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.